It was October 1935, and Alexander Alekhine was on his way to Amsterdam to defend his world championship title. To avoid a serious challenge, he'd chosen a relatively easy opponent for the match, a man named Max Juve. Juve was actually an amateur player, so to Alekhine, he seemed like a safe choice. But as it turned out, he wasn't. Welcome to Audible Chess, where I tell the story of chess through history, fiction, and the games of the masters. Max Juve was born in the Netherlands in 1901. He studied mathematics at the University of Amsterdam, and then spent most of his career teaching math at a girls' school there. He was a man of varied interests and pursuits. He was an avid boxer, he swam, did gymnastics, and also, of course, played chess. But the truth is, he actually had relatively little time for chess, and only managed to play in tournaments during school holidays. He had solid results in local tournaments, but simply not enough time for international events. Juve always considered teaching his profession, and chess a mere hobby. So how did he end up playing for the world title? In those days, they allowed the world champion to defend the title against whoever he wanted to, and Alekhine had a reputation for choosing relatively easy opponents to play against. When the match was announced, most thought that Juve had little chance of winning. Juve himself was unsure of his chances. They played a total of 30 games in different cities all around the Netherlands. Alekhine took the early lead, as expected, but Juve was able to change his approach midway, particularly his opening strategy, and he also found ways to see through many of Alekhine's attempts at complication. Most commentators describe Juve's playing style as systematic and logical. This is a quote from Mike Hennebry.
"He was not an aggressive attacking player, but he was comfortable in complex tactical situations. His talent was mostly tactical. He rarely played an unsound combination. Yet he subordinated his tactics to the overall strategy of the game. He relied heavily on general principles."
Juve's eventual win over Alekhine was a massive upset that shocked the chess world. He stayed world champion for the next 2 years, until he was defeated by Alekhine in a rematch in 1937. But Juve's chess legacy didn't end there. In 1957, he played a game against Bobby Fischer. He won the game, but keep in mind that Fischer was only 14 years old at the time. It was a short game, only 20 moves, and it's actually the game we're going to study for this episode. After the Second World War, Juve became interested in computer programming, and in the early 1960s became a member of Euratom, the European Commission for Atomic Energy, where he did research on chess and artificial intelligence, and the possibility of creating a chess-playing computer. And then, throughout most of the 70s, he was president of FIDE, the International Chess Federation. To commemorate all of his life's work in chess, in Amsterdam there's now a Max Juve Square. It includes an oversized chessboard with pieces, along with a statue of Juve. Just a reminder to check out the show notes for training resources there, along with links to the game annotation for you to study. This episode, I want to give a shout out to James. Thank you very much indeed for your support. Thanks everyone for listening, and I hope the show helps improve your chess.
1. White moves. Pawn to d4. Black moves. Knight to f6. Two. White moves. Pawn to c4. Black moves. Pawn to e6.
What color is the d5 square? d5 is a light square.
Three. White moves. Knight to c3. Black moves. Pawn to d5. Four. White moves. C pawn takes d5. Black moves. E pawn takes d5.
Which piece is on f6? Black's knight.
Five. White moves. Bishop to g5. Black moves. Bishop b4. Six. White moves. Pawn to e3. Black moves. Pawn to h6.
Which piece does this h6 move attack? The bishop on g5.
Seven. White moves. Bishop to h4. Black moves. Pawn to c5. Eight. White moves. Bishop to d3. Black moves. Knight to c6.
Which is the sole defender of White's pawn on d4? The pawn on e3.
Nine. White moves. Knight to e2. Black moves. C pawn takes d4. 10. White moves. E-pawn takes d4. Black moves. Castles kingside.
Which square is Black's light squared bishop on? C8.
11. White moves. Castles kingside. Black moves. Bishop to e6. White moves. Bishop to c2. Black moves. Bishop to e7.
Which three squares can the white knight on e2 move to? It can move to c1, f4, and g3.
White moves. Knight to f4. Black moves. Queen to b6. White moves. Bishop takes f6. Black moves. Bishop takes f6.
Which side now has the bishop pair? Black.
White moves. Queen to d3. Black moves. Rook, f-file, to d8. White moves. Rook, a-file, to e1. Black moves. Knight to b4.
Black's knight on b4 is attacking which of White's pieces? The pawn on a2, bishop on c2, and the queen on d3.
17. White moves. Queen to h7. Check. Black moves. King to f8. A18. White moves. Pawn to a3. Black moves. Knight takes c2.
Which squares are White's knights on? c3 and f4.
Knight. White moves. Knight, c5, takes d5. Black moves. Rook takes d5. White moves. Knight takes d5. Black resigns.